With us on the line is Brian Termail, who is a spokesperson for the Associated General Contractors. Okay, so we got a deal with the Republicans in the House of Representatives on transportation funding. Now it goes to the U.S. Senate, where it's expected to pass. The first question is this a big victory? And second, what's the implication for the future of transportation funding?
The best part about what passed the House yesterday is that we avoid a slowdown in federal spending on highway projects during what is traditionally the busiest construction season, August. While we were facing up until yesterday the possibility that the Department of Transportation would scale back how much money it provides to states to reimburse them for projects, what the House passed and what we hope and expect the Senate to pass soon will allow federal funding to continue at the same levels they're at today through May of 2015. What we didn't get is a fully funded long-term service transportation bill that actually identifies how we're going to pay for the road investments everyone knows we need to be making to keep our system in good condition and to keep our highways and transit systems and bridges safe.
Okay. Much of the controversy, I think, that is surrounding this issue is about the gas tax. And can you tell me a little bit about the politics behind raising the gas tax to pay for infrastructure improvements?
You know, the frustrating thing for most people, including us, with this debate about highway funding is that from a policy point of view, this is a really easy problem to solve. You raise the gas tax, you index it to inflation, and then you can pay for maintaining the system and keeping our roads in good working order, and we can take infrastructure funding or highway and transit funding off the list of repeat crises that we have to deal with in Washington. So what's really frustrating is politically, this is a much heavier lift than it is from a policy point of view. For whatever reason, actually for a variety of reasons, politicians have convinced themselves that it's virtually impossible to raise the federal gas tax. But interestingly enough, over the last 4, 5, 6 weeks, we've seen a growing number of Republicans and Democrats, elected officials, come out and publicly say, this is really silly. Why don't we just go ahead and raise the gas tax so we don't have to come up with all these funding gimmicks to keep the system afloat and have these repeat crises every 6 months? The Republican governor of Utah, Senator Bob Corker of Tennessee, Congressman Peter DeFazio from Oregon, a host of other elected officials, not just in Congress, but in state houses, mayors, state legislators have all said, why isn't the federal government just eliminating this problem from our list of repeat crises by raising the gas tax?
Why is it important for Congress to get its act together on funding these transportation improvements? I mean, how big a problem does America have with its aging transportation infrastructure?
Well, the good news is that we have the world's most efficient transportation system, and that was because we as a nation decided that we were going to connect every city and every major piece of transportation infrastructure, our ports, our rail hubs, to an interstate highway system. And that allows us to move goods more efficiently and more cheaply than just about any other country in the world. The bad news is that we're on the 60th year of a 50-year-long highway system, and our roads are old, our bridges are aging rapidly, and if we don't make the investment to maintain them and to adjust our transportation network so that it actually mirrors the current transportation patterns, then our transportation system is going to get increasingly less efficient, and it's going to be increasingly more costly and take longer to ship goods from point A to point B in the United States. And since we now operate in a globally competitive environment, the more expensive it becomes to move goods around the United States, the more those goods get moved other parts of the world instead of the United States, the less competitive we become as a country and the less our economy prospers. So the answer to your question is, investing in our highway and transit and bridges is crucial to the success of our economy, especially as the world economy becomes more interconnected.
When you're talking to your membership with the Associated General Contractors, I mean, what are they saying? How is this this activity or this lack of action in D.C., you know, affecting them?
Well, first, if you're a road contractor, It's really difficult to make decisions about how many people you're going to hire or how much equipment you're going to purchase if you don't know how much business will be available for you to chase in 6 months or 9 months or 1 year. So you have no way to make sound business decisions because we keep hopping from crisis to crisis with transportation spending as opposed to putting in place a multi-year fully funded long-term bill. So from a business point of view, it's incredibly challenging to operate in conditions like this. But more importantly, you've got to remember that contractors are folks who see a problem and overcome those problems every day. They see a blank piece of land, they turn it into an amazing building or an incredible piece of infrastructure, and they don't understand. And it's incredibly frustrating to see a collection of people who are supposedly adults in Washington who know what the problem is and know what the solution is, but won't act to fix the problem with the solution they know already exists. And they just don't get how we could get to a spot where Washington is so dysfunctional that we have these artificially manufactured crises when we actually have real problems we need to deal with as a country. And transportation infrastructure funding doesn't need to be on that list.
Brian, thanks for your time.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Always happy to be on the air.